All right, I'm the that sign in that was a better baby gay that Teran Tibayna, that sign in Tabachi, Denba, and Shiva Sakatawa, go to the world, the Dinita, and Shiva Sakata, Ringalia, and I want to sum up Nanakor, Ninjamanjia Korea, and the Dikor Mashiro.
Good morning. So this teaching is being offered at the time of Sakadawa. And so the topic of this teaching is going to present what we should be thinking about or reflecting on, and thereby what practices we should be engaging in during this period of Sakadawa. And this period of Sakadawa is seen as a period of great importance because the virtue that we accumulate has so much more strength. So all the virtue that is accumulated during this period has so much more strength than it would have at another time.
And
the reason that this period of Sakadawa is seen as so important and precious is because it is the anniversary period of Buddha's enlightenment.
There
are two ways to look at this. One is in accordance with the presentation in the Theravadin tradition, which is that the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni was born as a human, he made great effort in his training, and he attained enlightenment. The explanation in the Mahayana tradition is that in a previous life, the practitioner became an enlightened being, attained enlightenment in a previous life. In this life, already as an enlightened being, he appeared in an ordinary aspect and acted out the role of a wheel-turning
Buddha.
Takes to the presentation that the Buddha was born as an ordinary person and attained enlightenment in that life, or the second presentation where it was in a previous life he attained enlightenment and then appeared in this life already as enlightened being, isn't of great importance. Because whichever presentation one follows, the Buddha Shakyamuni would have in a life been an ordinary being until the point when in that particular life, enlightenment was achieved. So in other words, in a life prior to enlightenment, he would have been an ordinary being such as ourselves.
And it's a
Kota kiden utsuk tu dini sakit tu pergi kota sini apa ni? The being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, he, which again, whichever presentation one adheres to, the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni, he observed the suffering that is pervades samsara. So if we just take as an illustration of the human realm, he would have observed the suffering of illness and aging, and he would have been moved by what he saw. So whether there was a pandemic in the world or not at that time, one doesn't know, but one, he would have seen what was around him at that time in the same way that we too can now. Seeing the multitude of problems and difficulties that torment beings, then the being that was to become Buddha, he investigated this, analyzed this, coming to investigated what are the methods by which one can gain freedom from suffering. And in this process of investigation, he saw that it was best to enter the homeless life or go forth from ordinary life, what later would become known as taking ordination. And the reason that he saw that this was best was that it presented one with the opportunity, the best opportunity to train and transform one's mind, in that one was removed from the obligations and responsibility of the life of a householder, the obligations relating to raising and caring for a family and ensuring financial security and so forth. So he saw that going forth or entering the homeless life, the life of ordination, was the best technique to present one with the opportunity for transforming one's mind. In the traditional presentation, he then went forth from his life of comfort and engaged in austere practices for a period of 6 years, his body becoming emaciated from the strength or the austerities that he was in, or the severity of the austerities that he was engaging in.
And
But after this extensive period of engaging in these severe austerities, he saw that this was not a technique that will lead to liberation from suffering. His body had become emaciated, but his mind hadn't attained freedom. So therefore, seeing that this technique wasn't leading to the desired goal, he took nourishment to sustain his body, to give energy once again. Moved to what would become known as Bodh Gaya and sat under the Bodhi tree. And there, at probably around 3 a.m. in the early hours of the morning of the first day of what became known as Sakadawa, he attained enlightenment.
Sangyeva,
attaining, as we hear here, that the Buddha in the early hours of the first of Sakadawa attained enlightenment. And so then, what does enlightenment itself mean? It means that, on the one hand, all obscurations, all stains on his mental continuum, even the most subtle, have been completely eradicated. So there's not even the slightest trace of an obscuration remaining. And in conjunction with this, all good qualities have been developed to the level or the state of perfection. So therefore, an omniscient consciousness is attained, a consciousness that is freed from all limitations because all stains have been completely eradicated, and a consciousness where all good qualities have been developed to the furthest extent, the extent of perfection. And with such a consciousness, then the motivating aspiration of being of greatest benefit to others can then be achieved, can then be actualized. Having achieved enlightenment, then Buddha embarks on the dissemination of this faultless technique to achieve the same state that he had achieved, the state of perfection. And he gave innumerable teachings to beings in accordance with their dispositions on how to become Buddhas. And when the Buddha started disseminating the teachings of the Dharma, he gave all those before him the opportunity to firstly hear the unmistaken techniques to becoming enlightened, not only to be liberated from suffering, but becoming a perfected being. And moreover, not only did he give the opportunity to beings to hear these teachings, but to, whilst hearing, reflect on their meaning. And as the meaning arises within them in an unmistaken way, to engage in actual meditation on this unmistaken technique. And it's through hearing, reflecting, and meditating, and thereby engaging in practice, the practice of hearing, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, that uncountable beings since then to now have attained the state of enlightenment themselves. Moreover, there are uncountable beings who are in the world right now who are bodhisattvas and are rapidly progressing towards attaining their own enlightenment for the sake of others. Moreover, there are many beings who have achieved the state of a hearer or solitary realizer, foe destroyer, or who are progressing towards such a state. And not only are there those who have achieved or in the process of rapidly achieving their final goal, but there are many who have achieved a state of far greater happiness that is being experienced in this life, a state, and moreover, of being able to be of great benefit to others in this life, and thereby can have conviction that from life to life they are on the paths where they will achieve ever greater calm and inner peace and transformation and be of ever greater benefit to others from life to lifetime. So this is the state that in the world right now for beings and has been continuously in an unbroken lineage from when Buddha Shakyamuni achieved his enlightenment. The traditional story that we're most familiar with the being that became Buddha Shakyamuni was that he was born as a prince, and then coming to observe suffering in the world, he went forth from a princely life, and he engaged in great effort for 6 years. He embarked on a path of severe austerities to try and gain freedom from suffering. Seeing that this was not a successful technique, he once again took sustenance, physical sustenance, and then under the Bodhi tree attained enlightenment. So the way then that we should look at this is that we should see that Buddha Shakyamuni was presenting an example for us to follow. This wasn't just something that happened, but rather this process itself was a teaching. And the example that Buddha was presenting is that samsara has no essence. There's nothing worthy of striving for if it is within the nature of samsara, in other words, in the nature of suffering. And therefore, rather one needs to turn one's attention or transform one's way of thinking to focus on a state freed from some cyclic existence. And to achieve this, practicing the Buddha Dharma is the supreme method, because it is the sole method that leads to liberation and enlightenment. And in this example the Buddha set, a key component is his going forth, or to his ordination. And what is the meaning of going forth or ordaining? It means to practice, it means to develop an ethical outlook. It means to practice ethical conduct, or to be ethically restrained. That is the meaning of ordination, of going forth. The way to do that successfully, as well as to build on this, is to hear teachings, reflect on them, and meditate on them. This is the unmistaken technique. To be ethically restrained, and to be so, one needs to hear, reflect, and meditate, and to progress on that basis, one needs to hear, reflect, and meditate. This is the example Buddha Shakyamuni set in his life story. Being that became Buddha Shakyamuni, or the example that he set, whichever way one chooses to look at the traditional story, was that he was born as a prince, but seeing, coming to observe for himself that no one in the world is freed of suffering. He developed definite emergence, profound definite emergence, or to express that differently, he renounced the sufferings of samsara, he renounced cyclic existence, and then he went forth, or to express that differently, he ordained. And then, generating bodhicitta, he strove to become completely freed of suffering, but not solely for his own sake, but for all suffering beings. And with such a motivation, he achieved enlightenment. And then today is the anniversary of the Buddha's birth and enlightenment. So here the purpose of us celebrating this enlightenment, the purpose of it, of his birth and enlightenment being celebrated and us recalling it, is so that we can recall that cyclic existence is pervaded by suffering, but that freedom from this suffering is possible. It has been achieved by the Buddha himself and all the beings in this unmistaken lineage who have achieved their goals of liberation and enlightenment, as well as all those who are rapidly progressing to the achievement of those goals right now. And the purpose of recollecting that those two points then, the enlightenment of the Buddha and the lineage of all beings who followed, was to see how truly fortunate we are, that we live in a time where the Buddha's teachings have not only been taught, but they remain, and they are being practiced by greatly skilled practitioners. And here we can generate a strong sense of fortune that we have, as well as the kindness of the Buddha in particular, as well as all those who are keeping his teachings alive. And the purpose then of generating, of rejoicing like this, and reflecting on their incomparable kindness, is firstly to accumulate vast stores of virtue and independent, and moreover, to commit to following in the footsteps of the Buddha and all the great practitioners, and to commit to utilize what remains of our opportunity to transform our way of thinking, transform our minds, and live a life of true meaning.
아니네 的民西伯萨达们的别的别的，当过你把这那，我上一种的得了上街吧，这些在你顶脚嘛，这样嘛，把上过来接嘛，现在顶的这，我们就西伯才把中国都上街吧，这上你也是要顶的这里，你把下吧，哎，嘛是地少呀，啊，这个端到了，主要是些东西，东西是第一端，第一主要的端到了都是那上油锅嘛，你把下上油锅嘛，头发的上油锅嘛，都呢，吹包都没把上去，反正全部修修了。 别嘛是要不的，这生意远点点啊，生意给点点啊，给点点的，那俺马上一年，第二年给我呢，生意给送回去的了，你们来接退的，结果我都先别给俺去，对呢，你们准备对呢就收钱去啊，对呢，上大队生意也给点点啊，生意给生意也呢，确搞个这把了呀，你技术一上去啊，俺那说说嚷嚷一年，去你们来就准备收钱去，借几个月吧，银行。
The reason that it's said that during the 15 days or the 30 days of Sakadawa one accumulates so much virtue is because one is being an anniversary of Buddha's birth and enlightenment, then one is turning one's attention to what the Buddha achieved and reminding ourselves that he did this for our sake and for the sake of all our loved ones and all beings. So this then leads us to naturally reflect on the great kindness of the Buddha and rejoice in what the Buddha achieved, as well as the kindness and rejoice in the what was achieved by the entire lineage of followers. And for with our entire Buddhist world, rejoicing and reflecting on the kindness of these great practitioners together, huge stores of virtue are created. And then thirdly, in addition to rejoicing and reflecting on kindness, together with all others in our Buddhist world, the thought arises, I too want to achieve a state freed of suffering. And I will do this, and as a follower of the Buddha, I will achieve this by following in the Buddha's footsteps, and following in the footsteps of the entire lineage of great practitioners. So it's for these reasons that we are doing this together with our entire Buddhist world, reflecting on the kindness, rejoicing in what has been achieved, and committing to do the same ourselves to transform our lives. That great virtue is accumulated in this period.
ညာဘာစဝတ်ချဘချောင်းအဆောင်ကျဲပါတယ်သူကြီးညာဘာဆွေးရတယ်သူကြီးတဲတဲ့စမ်တန်တဲ့သူကြီးတဲလို့အဒီရဲစမ်ဆောင်တဲ့ထွေးလေးကွာစစားတဲ့နေကြီးငါကြွကြွကိုကြီးတေးရှိပါချစ်စုရာချာတာဆောင်ယူနေတဲ့ချာတာအော်ဒီနေကနေညာတဲ့ရှိဖို့စံပြီးတွေ့ပါကြတဲ့ဒီဟုံးကောလို့ပဲနေဒီလိုအတန်းအောင်ဆိုကြီးနမ်ကြီးနေအောင်ဆိုလဲအဲ့ဒီဒီဟုံးပါလို့ပဲနေဒီလိုပဲနေအောင်ဆိုမာချင်းဒီစမ်ချေမ ဒီနေ့ချစ်တဲ့ဒီစီရဲ့ဆက်ပါချင်ငယ်ပါဆွေးရှာရွေးဝင်စားဆရာဒီမင်းဒီညီမတွေလက်ချစမ်းကြီးအညီမမအချင်းကပြေမမိတင်းမောင်မမမဝရှိပါတယ်ဆံပေကတဲ့ညာနာကိုတွေ့ချရတာတဲလေအနဲ့ညီစီစံတာဒီအနဲ့ဒီဒီစီတဲလေဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲရဒီစီဒီတဲ Leonid, or that did you see Dilida and some Tante Deliand, Gesangi Kitin Chisotea, Sangi Kiyu in the entire, and the Sangi Debatia, and Chu Puyala Sobadi, Jashim Bulida, Jesan Shiva Saga, the Unity Chevin, Gioche, or such. Jim Zenjini did it, Jine, and Dusudan, Sangi, the Nigi Gabria, Jeva Inza, Jau, Jeva and the Nigi, Dudan.
If you think of the purpose that anniversaries, that recalling anniversaries serves, well, we can take, for example, recent anniversaries of both VE Day or Anzac Day. So there, the entire nation turns their mind, or turns their attention towards recalling those who have fallen in these wars, fallen to prevent the calamity that, in particular, the Second War, as well as perhaps the First, presented. And so here we recall those who have died, and we will generate the hope for that the world can live in peace and harmony together. So we don't normally think like this. This isn't thought that people don't go around their daily lives recalling those who have died in war and thinking about the need for world peace. But on anniversaries, hearing that today is an anniversary for something specific, one's mind naturally goes to the cause of that anniversary, or what one is remembering, meant to remember on the anniversary. So this is exactly the same as the purpose that Sakadawa performs. Knowing that today is Sakadawa, immediately one turns one's mind to what is being remembered in this anniversary, the Buddha's birth and enlightenment. And remembering then, or independence on recalling that today is the anniversary of Buddha's appearance in this world through his birth, as well as his showing of enlightenment, then we can reflect on the great kindness of the Buddha, as well as our great fortune to live in a time now where his teachings and example still abide through the lineage of practitioners. And thereby, we can give rise to a wish to attain a state of freedom from suffering too. And in this way, we achieve a tremendous merit in joining our Buddha's world together in recalling this. So this is one reason why so much virtue is accumulated in the period of Sakadawa. Another reason would be to point to, well, it is the actual astrological time, it is the exact under the same full moon and so forth, that Buddha achieved his enlightenment. And thereby, one also achieves more merit for the same activities than otherwise one would.
Mm.
Buddha, having achieved enlightenment, he had achieved this perfected state whereby he was then able, under the power of his bodhicitta, to teach how others can achieve that same perfected state. And he was teaching, of course, as a Buddha, not based on mere intellectual knowledge, but on experience that had been achieved on the basis of knowledge. And therefore, he was able to teach the perfect, the unmistaken path to the achievement of the self-same state of omniscience that he himself had achieved.
Lama, and the Jig Gadamba, Yishi Lari Tamba says, Uncle Rongida, that San Yujimendiki, and Chiki, just to charge San Yujimendiki, Suman Ashin Korongida, Yamle Nam, Yamle Nanida, Korongi, Yamyon Tony, Marathon, that San Yujimendiki, Sunshebi Tony, Dulcin Yamle Nadi Tony, Korongi, Yamle Nadi, Marathon Ma, and the Yamle Nadama, and the Sikki Nan, Dushi Ma.
following in the lineage of great teachers that achieved realization based on training exactly like Buddha Shakyamuni himself did, we turn our attention to the text that we're going to look at from today, that written by the great Kadampa Lama Geshe Langri Tangpa. So he taught in a way that's the same as the Buddha. Through hearing and reflecting and meditating on the Buddha's teachings, based on this knowledge, he gained transformative experience. And on the basis of knowledge and experience, his own personal experience, he taught this abbreviated text that contains such vast meaning and depth. So this is what we're going to start to look at today, the eight verses of mind training. The first verse, with the thought of attaining enlightenment for the welfare of all beings, who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I will constantly practice holding them dear. The very first line of this text in Tibetan is the word I, and then the words all sentient beings. So that's what one finds in the first line. I, all sentient beings. So by starting the text like this, he's immediately showing that he recognizes that he and all sentient beings are exactly the same, in that no being desires even the slightest of difficulty or problems, but wants to experience lasting, stable happiness. So in the very first line of the text, he is showing that there is no difference between oneself and others, in that all desire freedom from pain, freedom from suffering. And the second line then goes on to show how important others are when compared to one. How important others are. And we have it in our third line, who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel. So even something like a wish-fulfilling jewel, sentient beings are more important than such an object.
Tarbata 고야기 안데사야 통야라 소바다 차상 된다 두그레 이신노 시오르 숨으로다 아 나데서 한적에 에 모선에 맞지 통과 말하다 이내 당한 저 예상 안 저게 템블리나래야 노부릭 지디게다 세라다 안데 지게 도지 파람바 소바도 무이데 제소다 이신노 노부 시그로 지는 노부 인자 제소나 가려용으로 쓰는 도지 파람나 세로 주요 배는 안 하고 被扩大进步部门几天呢，那我不有我不能呢，车上咋修啊？这东西发了呢，设计个咋修几个了的？可是现在咋修几个了？现在把你原本呢，你托那个老师也设计给团结了，可是呢，这种把那这来呢，我来，现在这来呢，那个就空不接的，堵路女啊的，啥呀，同学的或者米路说不接的。
Moreover, with the first line having staying just I, all sentient beings, implicit in this is the purpose of this text, the purpose that the practitioner is striving for, which is to become enlightened for the sake of others, because all beings want to be liberated from suffering and pain. Then in the second line, when it's referring to all beings being more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, then it's good here then to understand what is meant by a wish-fulfilling jewel. So it's something that is meant, that it's something that fulfills whatever one prays for. So whatever one's wishes are, whatever one's prayers are, if one were to have this particular jewel, those would be fulfilled. So, of course, this is something that none of us have observed, so we can think about it in terms of what is seen as precious in the world or valuable, and that would be, say, gold and diamonds. And the reason that gold and diamonds are seen as precious is because if one has them, certainly in abundance, whatever one wishes for, whatever one's prayers are, they can be fulfilled. So one's material comfort, one's wealth and physical well-being, this can be fulfilled if one is wealthy. One can also help those that one cares for, materially be of benefit to others. So we can think about having, if we were to have an abundance of gold and diamonds, well then our material wishes certainly could be fulfilled.
那年年几月份呢？都是把那税收收，他们都把被砸清不休，只能自己清砸清不去，怕伢伢的被上手修起呢，怕顶不修起呢，打不结个话，现在接了现在现在的，俺这个没来些了，没顶不起，别些俺那个把这个打不修，顶不进不去呢，打不顶不修结个话，砸清不休，这个话的这里啊。
And if we were to have a store of gold and diamonds, not only would we see this as greatly precious and valuable, but we would guard it. And not only would we take care and guard it, but we'd hide it from others. We'd make sure it was protected from others. The reason we see gold and diamonds as precious is because of what we can do with wealth. Knowing that if when we sell our gold and diamonds with all this money, we can live a life of material comfort and we can help those that we care for. So it's for that reason we consider gold and diamonds to be so precious.
但是你那个炸钱不，人不吃的，那我的人不吃的，这炸钱不来的，生前这些你得来哪个来说？但生前这些得来哪个炸钱来说？But
here we see that sentient beings are seen as incomparably more precious than even great wealth.
哎呀，身边这些杂钱，跟那吃的这些，那都是把那那都是中央钱收收的，我有点被中间某个修出的，身边这些感觉呢，你一看都是要去判断去民族啊，等你中央这个民族，等你工人这个，等你个，那那这杂钱跟那些身边什么好些个了嘛。
This will sound strange because people strive to attain great wealth. This is what they value. This is what they long for. They don't see limitless sentient beings as being valuable. They have no aspiration in relation to all sentient beings. They have aspiration, though, for material wealth. The reason that sentient beings are seen as more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel is twofold. On one hand, what wealth can achieve, or a wish-fulfilling jewel can achieve, all of that can only be achieved in dependence on sentient beings. So with wealth, we will have material comfort, such as a lovely home, delicious food, nice clothing. And all of this can only, though, be achieved not merely in dependence on wealth, but sentient beings. Likewise, whatever problems and difficulties we are experiencing in this life, wherever we need assistance and help, this comes about in dependence on sentient beings. So whether one has an abundance of wealth, or just a little bit, or one's barely getting by, one requires sentient beings for all forms of material comfort. So from a worldly perspective, from a perspective just of this one mere life, sentient beings are tremendously kind, because merely having wealth but not having any indirect or direct interaction with others, we will not be able to overcome our problems and difficulties. And then thinking past this life, beyond this life, and thinking about completely transforming ourselves and attaining a state freed from problems and difficulties, that of liberation, or even the state of enlightenment. Such states can only be achieved in dependence on sentient beings. So it's for this reason that we see what's in the first line for us, with the thought of attaining enlightenment. So that this is the third line in Tibetan, which is literally the thought of accomplishing the supreme purpose. The supreme purpose, or enlightenment, can only be achieved in dependence on sentient beings. And therefore, sentient beings are seen as incomparably more precious than even a wish-fulfilling jewel.
I didn't 아니 차베 동마다 배야 바로와 제가 디림부치 여배네 파송 와 종지 무시라 술 종고를 신선제를 종고를 맞아 신 요한면의 종서면을 봐 제가 신의 종지 신 요한 여발의 때네 소소야 변주라 도고 제가 변주라와 때네 때네 소소라기 제디기 디기 자면 디기 두고 레제데 안디 맞아 다 소소기 지바로 따바이네 신 소소기 지바다네 지바다서 신 심제를 고르 봐 심제 맨날 지바다서 요 말해 지바다서 맨날 소소 지바 다제 아니 기위기 지바 따비기 아니 수놈 사요 말 디 수놈 사면은 안 제와 지마를 양아 저기 디 지비 제부 튕게 로지도 주야 말 지산 소소기 다데리 나데 제와 치마에 나데 나도 사야 뒤에 로지 라와디 가르스니 제와 님마 심제를 봐 지바 따비기 디 제고 차고 지산 소소기 되니 중화 차나 심제를 되니 중화래 샤스 신 심제를 되니 중화래 샤스 온도 섬다요
No matter how wealthy an individual may be, this massive mountain of wealth that they may have, that alone cannot fill them. They cannot eat piles of gold and diamonds, nor can they live in a pile of gold and diamonds. That does not make for a comfortable home on its own. The only way that such wealth can benefit someone is if they were to trade it, to sell it. In order to sell it, they need others, they need a buyer. Moreover, they need a society that values what they have, that values gold and silver. So they are dependent. Someone with this great store of gold and diamonds is dependent on others, dependent on a society that values their gold and diamonds, depends on those whom with they can trade, they can sell their wealth. And thereby, thereafter, they can have nutritious food and a lovely home. And these too are, of course, dependent on others. And moreover, if we then look at this not just from a worldly perspective, a single life perspective, but in terms of creating the causes for good rebirths, for our future rebirths, to be comfortable and to aid our spiritual development, we need to practice generosity. And no matter how wealthy a person is, in order to practice generosity, they require other sentient beings. So whether one's wealth is of great abundance, or if one possesses no wealth and can only practice generosity visually, then or through visualization, one requires other sentient beings. And without being able to practice generosity, one is not creating the causes that will ensure in our future lives we have an abundance of material wealth as well as other favorable circumstances to aid our spiritual development.
Chisan kala saya di raya dia, sian la dina la kore, sian, ane shimba, liaga liagaan, chi kalya jagaan chi miyabai na, ta ngang zu la kala raga marwa. Chisa dina za, ngang zu saya dunya ta, dulo kuya ta, chasan kala zi, sian la dina, sian ki kalya jagaan di, dina la dina ngang zu la yung kore, chisan yung kore. Nipane ngang zu ki, simcha la dina ngang zu, sha saya raya ta, ane chi ki dulo raya, ane dina ki, ane oma dunya raya ta. Tenegi sayat rik dang ma sun beje ta rik ma mu chi yo ra go. Ten mi shen da mo ma shen ta mo ka je na de so le tene kon ju ge le ka le ja ba le tene ma zo le ma mu chi sa go. Ta na zu ge de sa khang go ro ja ma ju chi shi ji ya de ne sam ta we. Mi shen da ka le je je khang go su ye shi tin chi de ma zu de le 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 ju chi ma zu le chi ji go ra de sha le de ra ba. Chi sa tin ni sa ma du sam ta we na zu chi di gi ma di ne ka ki sam ta we na ma zu le. Shensi be masi kiechi moda, shensi de manzu de bijuchi moda, kirinchi muimbaji, chiuchi de shasu moda.
So here immediately in this first verse, we've been directed towards the kindness of others. And this To understand this topic well, we start as always with the coarser presentations that are easy to understand, and then take that understanding to subtler level. So, if we think of the food that we eat, The only reason we have the nutritious food that we have is because of the endeavors of others. And we think here not just merely of the farmers, but all those involved in food production. And it's because of their endeavors that we are able to have the food that we eat. So here we can think of those who, so many who both directly and indirectly help us. And similarly, we think of the roles that animals play in both the in both the fertilizing of plants or fertilizing soil, as well as animals whose flesh we eat or produce dairy products. We see how animals, in these ways, indirectly enable us to have a nutritious food. We think of the buildings we're sitting in now, whether the few that are here now with me, or those of you at home watching on YouTube. You're only in your homes because of the kindness of so many others. On an obvious level, the builders and the architects, but all those behind them who are involved in their education, in the mining of materials, the construction of and design of components and so forth, so many who directly and indirectly help us. Reflecting on the kindness that others show us in this life, and they are indispensable relationship of dependency with them, we take this understanding then and apply it to future lives. In our future lives, in order to continue our spiritual development, it's imperative we receive a precious human rebirth marked with the 18 freedoms and opportunities. And in order to achieve, at the very least, a human rebirth, one has to cultivate ethical restraint. And in order to be to have a mind that is restrained, a mind that is ethical, and thereby our physical and verbal behavior also being restrained, we require others in which to whom to practice ethically towards. So in order, therefore, to accumulate the primary cause for a good rebirth, that of ethical restraint, we require others. Similarly, to ensure that in our future lives we have abundance of resources and all favorable circumstances to aid our spiritual development, we need to practice generosity. And generosity being the wish to benefit others clearly requires others. And similarly, for our future lives to have complete sense faculty so as to aid our spiritual development and to have harmonious relationships with others, we need to practice patience, a mind that is undisturbed in the face of adversity. And therefore, we require others too to practice patience. So from the perspective both of this life's happiness and future life's happiness, we require others. All happiness comes about dependence on others.
Having looked at this indispensable relationship that we have with others for happiness in this life, as well as for happiness in our future lives, we then take it to the third level to look towards the final goal, that of liberation from suffering in its entirety and the attainment of enlightenment. So having seen in the first two steps that for temporary happiness, others are indispensable, and therefore are precious, so too is the case for enlightenment, because for enlightenment one has to practice ethical restraint, generosity, patience, but also love and compassion. And love has as its object, may others experience only happiness, may others accumulate the causes of happiness. So therefore it's clear that in order to generate love, others are indispensable. Similarly with compassion, which has as its object, may others be freed of suffering, may others eliminate the causes of suffering, clearly too for the generation of compassion, others are indispensable. And with others being indispensable for the generation of love and compassion, therefore they are indispensable for the generation of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. So in this way we can see that others are indispensable for not only happiness in this life, happiness in our future lives, so therefore temporary happiness, but also for ultimate happiness of liberation and enlightenment. Others are indispensable, and therefore, because all temporary and ultimate happiness comes about in dependence on others, we see them as precious. We see them as more precious than even a wish-fulfilling jewel.
And the Sosurangi, Lobjong Chia Chimine, Shanatine, Shane, the Lobjong, Shangi, Sumar, the Lobje, and Ransuki, Lobjong Shimu, Shanatine Rabu. Sanda Ransu Chi Yamle Chevane, Shanatine, Ransu Chi, Tilbore, Chi Susu Yamle Chihuva. That Sosuki Chi Yamle Chi, Susu Chi Inara, Susuki, that Giro, Lobjong Kashimine. Lavia,
And the fourth step here is seeing, having come to see how precious others are and indispensable they are for temporary happiness as well as ultimate happiness, we then remind ourselves that all spiritual progression that we have already achieved and that we are still to achieve only comes about in dependence on the kindness of others. And this is a key point. All our good qualities come about in dependence on others. Right at the beginning of this talk, we spoke about how we need to hear the teachings from the enlightened Buddha, reflect on them, meditate on them. In order to hear teachings, this can only become about independence on a teacher. So clearly there's a relationship of dependency on others and a relationship of the kindness of others. And then when we think about this, and there will be many subtler levels to think about this, continuity of kindness of others. But what it comes down to is all our knowledge and all the experience that we've achieved in dependence on that knowledge and all the transformative experience that we are still to achieve in dependence on this knowledge, this comes about in dependence on the kindness of others. So reflecting then on this fourth step, as well as the three preceding steps, we come to see how interdependent we are with others, see how crucial they are to us too. And in this way, we come to value others. We come to hold others as dear. The verse concludes with, I will constantly practice holding them dear. This then is very clear. Having come to recognize in our reflections just that other sentient beings are a real source of joy, prosperity and happiness, we come to hold them as dear, and this is something to do at all times, not just when we call it to mind, but to ensure that this becomes a guiding principle in our lives, always developing a sense of closeness and affection for others, and ensure that this becomes a guiding principle in our interactions with others, the sense of closeness, the sense of affection for others. So this first verse is of great importance, recognizing that we want to be freed of pain and suffering. We need to recognize the causes for this. And when we look at ourselves with great honesty, we'll see that the rise of all our problems and suffering comes from our self-cherishing mind. The moment that we think of us solely of ourselves, the focus of our mind narrows. And because of this narrow mind, problems appear for us. Things of really no significance appear as huge and insurmountable, leading to fear and discomfort arising. And from this, then, our problems will grow and escalate. And not only is this experience as inner turmoil, but we then express it. Our mind of ethical restraint is lost, and we express it through physical or verbal actions to others. And thereby, this self-cherishing mind brings harm to others too. If we recognize this, we will come to then further see at a deeper level the great importance of others, because it's through valuing others, seeing them as precious, holding them as dear, genuinely feeling a sense of affection and closeness to others, that our self-cherishing mind will struggle to arise, because we are cherishing others. And the greater we hold a sense of closeness to others, the greater we value others, the more naturally habituated we will become to the other cherishing mind. And thereby, our mind will be broader. Our mind will not be overcome easily by problems and difficulties. We'll see things in a greater perspective, because we will not take things as personal, as being about ourselves, but we will rather value those that we are interacting with. It will be much easier for us to generate a long-sighted goal, a goal of benefiting others. One can imagine that if one has a genuine respect for others and affection for others and feels a genuine closeness to all others, that with such a basis, love and compassion can be generated with great ease and with great profundity within us, or great power within us. And thereby, in dependence on that, Buddhahood, the attainment of Buddhahood itself, grows ever nearer.
Jawa
然后也跟着进步一把的，今天是甚至讲了，今天说说给啥呀？同样那个一个把今天讲了，今天很说说给开发商要把，讲了今天这边你们几个，讲了今天去年也你们几个要把，讲了今天都修了，这个都这些钱给上了呀，真进步一把的，跟着进步往哪的一路上当，来上当，今天个上当都上当了，哦，那些些被马上跟着进步啥？什么修了下，什么些？那跟着进步就好多了，今天些。 炸起包的，肯定吃不着好沟通呢。这里啊，你想来没个？我的，俺这个不会呢，反正就说是给，这个炸起么修这呢？这里啊，这个咱讲不起个了吧？不过现在炸起么子呢，弄那些那个隔离的地区了，啊，这个，今天咱，这那这里啊，你讲这些的，反正，恁想来呀，讲这当，恁你就可没得休息的了。现在咱当然就。
今天早上都想来，甚至他们这里面被强暴的，在我研究工，研究工罢了，点呢，他甚至他们就上学过吧，托托这边解决甚至好嘞。其实第一年们才罢了，俺们点那个先解决这边上了中国嘞，但点那个咱先解决这上面的，甚至的已经拿不来他话嘞，是不是他被军政都是在那上当，上当苦嘞？哦，都是那边能过嘞，但俺这个，但点那个，那俺这个。 人家们写的，那都是那三大几个，几年的银行这个，他的人家们这边是不啥个的，三月九年的，哦，都是那个嘞，都是那三月九年的，俺今年们都是那话嘞，啥的，三月九年的，给这这些别托呢，那古松都有这这些不是托呢，俺年纪呢，俺年龄的，就是这样，给话嘞，别就去人家们这个银行上面个，我三大的。
Our first talk together is, of course, impermanent, and now it has come to an end. So, to summarize what we've looked at this morning, spoke about the purpose of Sakadawa, and that is to recall the great kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni. And all that he achieved for sentient beings just like myself, or such as myself. Reflect on generating an appreciation for the Buddha. Also then, secondly, rejoicing that we have created the causes to be in a world where his teachings remain and are still alive. And thereby, thirdly, commit to following the example of the Buddha. Through hearing his teachings, reflecting and meditating on them, thereby transforming our way of thinking and living a life of great meaning. And the way to do this is as we're looking at here in this text, to follow the example of Buddha Shakyamuni, as well as all of the lineage of great practitioners who followed, such as the Bodhisattva Langaditampa. And here, in following their example, we look at the great kindness that others have shown us from lifetime to lifetime, up to this point and from this lifetime. We start by engaging in 4 points of meditation, reflecting on the great kindness that others directly and indirectly show us in this life, as well as the kindness that they directly and indirectly show us in relation to our being able to accumulate the causes to ensure that our future rebirths go well. And thirdly, we reflect on the kindness that others show us directly and indirectly as indispensable causes for our attainment of liberation and enlightenment. And then fourthly, we reflect on this indispensable relationship that we have with others in the sense of all good qualities that we have achieved and we will still achieve, all our spiritual developments, comes about in dependence on the kindness of others. Through reflecting on these 4 points, we'll come to feel a closeness and an affection towards others. And this is the indispensable basis to overcome the cause of all our suffering, the self-cherishing mind, and develop its contrary mind, the other cherishing mind. And this other cherishing mind is the basis for cultivation of love and compassion and bodhicitta. And it's for these reasons that we come to see that sentient beings are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, and thereby constantly hold them as dear.
Mm-hmm.
This morning we've looked at how to generate love and compassion through seeing others as dear. In the next session, we'll look at one of the primary obstacles to doing so, that of pride. Pride, which serves as a great obstacle to valuing others and holding others as dear, and thereby being unable to generate love and compassion for others. So thank you very much.